Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line one of my favorite guests. Her name is Dr. Kathy Burns, and Dr. Burns has written a number of books that we carry, going into the background of the Eastern Star, the book on Billy Graham. She's written a book on Masonic and occult symbols, and we carry these and really many of her other books as well. But the book we're going to be, pardon me, what we're going to be talking about today is Masons in Government. Now, most people never think of the significance of having members of secret societies working at the highest levels of our government, and the implications of these people who worship a different God. Because, of course, the great architect of the universe, who is, of course, demonstrated and, of course, on the back of the dollar bill, and you see the Masonic symbol there, and it is a Masonic symbol. In fact, the entire back of the dollar bill is all Masonic symbology. The average individual doesn't know that. The United States Capitol is laid out in occult terms, and we even carry a book called The Occult Architecture of Our Nation's Capitol. It's not written by some right-wing fringe group. It's published by HarperCollins, one of the leading publishers in the United States. You will find the occult Masonic symbols all over Washington, D.C. Indeed, every federal office building in Washington, D.C. has a Masonic plaque on it. You couldn't put a Christian plaque on a building, but you could put a Masonic plaque. And we have Masons working at the highest levels of our government in Congress. We have them in the United States Senate. We've had many of them in the presidency of the United States, and over the last 12 presidents, other than with the exclusion of our current president, of those last 12 presidents, six of them were either Masons or very, very closely associated with the Masonic movement, and this is never mentioned. Dr. Burns, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Well, tell us a little bit about your concern, because you had suggested, why don't we talk about the Masonic influence on government?
Well, Masons in government go all the way back to our very first president, when George Washington took his oath of office as the first president of the United States. There were 13 states, and the governor of each state was a Mason. Washington himself took his oath of office on a Bible that was used in a Masonic lodge, and the oath of office was administered to him by a Mason. Warren G. Harding was a Mason, and he served as president from 1921 to 1923. And, of course, by 1923, already 300 of the 435 members of the United States House of Representatives, which was about 69%, were Masons, and 63% of the United States Senate were Masons. And only 6 years later, the entire Congress, 67%, were comprised of members of the Masonic Order. In the issue, the New Age magazine, the March 1949 issue, it stated in there that at that time, 34 out of the 50 state senators were Masons. Also, of the 108 members of the lower house of legislature, about 56 were members of the craft. So you can see a lot of our congressmen have been Masons. At least 16 of our vice presidents have been Masons, and at least 17 presidents, including George Washington, which I've already mentioned, Andrew Jackson, Theodore Roosevelt, William Howard Taft, Franklin D. Roosevelt, Harry S. Truman, Lyndon Johnson, Gerald Ford, and then Ronald Reagan. Of course, he just held the honorary membership there. In 1984...
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Kathy Burns, who's written a number of books we carry on Masonry, on the Secrets of the Eastern Star, which is the organization for women in Masonry, her book on Masonic and occult emblems, or Masonic and occult emblems. Of course, we see them everywhere. They hide their emblems in plain sight. They hide them in our government buildings. They hide them in the right lower quadrant of your television screen when CBS comes on. They hide them on the back of our dollar bill. They hide them in architecture, in paintings. And yet, the average individual doesn't understand these secret emblems because nobody's ever pointed out what they are, but they always hide them in plain sight. Well, we were going to be discussing this afternoon the influence of Masonry in government, and what most people don't understand is the God of Masonry is not the God of the Bible. He is the great architect of the universe. He is the same God that is worshipped by the Hindus. He is the same God that is worshipped by the Masons. Pardon me, by the Muslims. He is the same God that is worshipped by the fundamentalist Jews, and of course in the Orient by the people who embrace the Oriental religions, and it is the same God that is worshipped in the temples here. Oh, they may have a Bible in our Masonic lodges, but that doesn't represent the God that Masons worship. Who is the great architect of the universe, Dr. Burns?
Well, they will tell you in many cases, they'll come right out. You have to study it and you have to keep looking at it. But they will come out and basically say that it's Osiris, the god of the Egyptians. They'll give him another name, perhaps as Pan, or they'll give him Buddha, Muhammad, you know, like you were mentioning, all the different names there. Any name but Jesus Christ. That's about the only name that they will not mention.
How about Jabal-al? Isn't that the name that they give, the secret name of God?
Yes, and that's again a combination of...
Pull that stop right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Dr. Kathy Burns, and we carry her book, Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated. If you have not read it, you need to get it, you need to read it, you need to study it, you need to understand the significance of the fact that they have planted their symbols everywhere. In our institutions of learning, in our churches, both Catholic and Protestant, in our government buildings, in the very architecture of Washington, D.C., on the back of our dollar bill, they hide their emblems in plain sight. And we were talking with Dr. Burns about who is the God of Masonry, and Dr. Burns has said, they'll tell you, if they want to be honest with you, that it's Osiris, or that it's Horus, or the secret word of God, according to the Masons, if you read the Masonic literature, is Jabal-al. Who does that represent, Jabal-al?
Well, there's three names there. The first part, supposedly Yahweh, or the God of the Christian and the Jew. The second part, Baal, again, the god of the pagans, the Canaanites, the god that wanted human sacrifices many times. You know, that's what the Lord told us not to be involved in, Baal worship, and that's the Baal. And then On is the part for the sun god of Egypt, or Osiris. Now, there's also a Mason by the name of S.R. Parchment, and he says that Baphomet is the great architect of the universe. So that's pretty blatant.
Now, who does he say it is?
Baphomet, goat,
okay.
Yeah, the satanic goat.
Okay, and of course, the goat has a great deal to do with the whole symbology of the Masonic religion.
Oh, it sure does. The artist of Baphomet was Eliphas Levi, who was an occultist and a Mason, And in fact, it was Albert Pike who plagiarized most of Levi's work for his own Masonic book entitled Morals and Dogma. And that book was given until recently to every Mason who reached either like the 14th or the 32nd degree. And Levi himself states, you know, that this drawing of Baphomet really is a representation of the devil. And he shows this drawing with him making the devil's triad with his right hand. And even though Baphomet is supposed to represent Satan, he tells us that he's also known as the Ancient of Days or the Creator, or as we've just mentioned, the Great Architect of the Universe. And, of course, Levi's drawing of this Baphomet figure shows his emphasis on sex, for he actually made Baphomet as an androgynous or a male-female figure. And he tells us that that winged staff between Baphomet represents the phallus. He's made blasphemous statements. This is Levi. He says something like this. He said the devil is God upside down. He's also told us that the intellectual Lucifer is the spirit of intelligence and love. It is the Holy Spirit, while the physical Lucifer is the great agent of universal magnetism. And, of course, Baphomet is the horn god of the witches, and it's, again, the symbol of sex incarnate.
And, of course, if you get a copy of Morals and Dogma, and you may be able to get one if your library, you can get it from used bookstores, there's only one picture in the whole book, and that, of course, is the indoctrination to the situation you'll have to go through, the ceremony you go through to become a 32nd degree Mason. And you'll actually find this picture on the front of our Millennium Summit syllabus. And what it is a being with two heads, one man and one woman, this androgynous human being, is surrounded by Masonic symbols, but they are standing on a dragon that overlaps the tops of the world. And, of course, the symbology is very, very clear. Why, Masonry, which, of course, this being represents, stands on the dragon that, of course, dominates the world. And who is the dragon? Well, of course, we should know if you study the Bible, the dragon is Satan himself. Now, the average Mason really doesn't understand what's going on. Do you think, Kathy, do you think the average Mason really understands the spiritual significance of the oaths he takes to look for the light?
No, I really don't think so. Because in fact, when people from all faiths can join Masonry, but what happens is that many of them just join for social reasons. They're told that they'll have benefits or prestige, you know, if they join. Many are in business, and that's like, this will bring in more business for you. And since they're told that it won't interfere with their religious beliefs, they think this will just enhance them. It's just a social club. It's just something to get together with other men and have some fun. And, of course, then many of these people considering joining Masons, they're being told that, well, you know, a number of our presidents were Masons, and our senators are Masons, and, you know, these just could not possibly be evil people. And it just makes it sound so good, and then they brag on all the charity they give, such as their burn centers, and they'll tell us that, you know, we give to these poor people that need help. We help those who are under the age of 18, and, you know, if you just give to us, look at all the charity. And they really do. They feel that it's a wonderful organization. It's been bragged up so much, so when they join it, they don't really think much of it. Of course, they encounter oaths there and all, but sometimes they're told, well, they're just symbolic. And, again, the average person, I really don't think. I mean, there's a lot of good people, I believe, that belong to Masons. If they only could read their own books, I think they'd change their mind.
But I think, of course, that problem is that they have sworn these oaths to the light, to seek for the light. And if you read Albert Pike's book, Morals and Dogma, of course, I repeat this in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, he scoffs at these foolish people who join Masonry, who they have been able to deceive and be able to confuse. And he says quite openly that they have been given an explanation of what their oaths mean, but they don't really understand. They've been lied to. The secret is reserved only for the adepts and the princes of Masonry. Those are his words, not mine.
That's right. And maybe we're going to go over some of the oaths. Like the first oath already, when they take this is what the Mason says. The oath goes, and again, they do not know this until they're actually told to repeat after the one giving them the oath. So they're sort of joining blindly, like Albert Pike has said they would be. He says, we deceived them. But the oath says, finding myself under no less penalty than that of having my throat cut across, my tongue torn out by its roots, and my body buried in the rough sands of the sea at low water mark, where the tide ebbs and flows twice in 24 hours, should I ever knowingly violate this, my inert apprentice obligation. The second degree Mason says this, finding myself under no less penalty than that of having my breast torn open, my heart plucked out, and placed on the highest pinnacle of the temple there to be devoured by the vultures of the air should I ever knowingly violate the fellow craft obligation. By the third degree, they say, binding myself under no less penalty than that of having my body severed in two, my bowels taken from thence and burned to ashes, the ashes scattered before the four winds of heaven, that no more resemblance might be had of so vile and wicked a wretch as I would be, should I ever knowingly violate this, my master mason's obligation.
Why would any intelligent adult make an oath of that sort? I mean, why would you swear to God? Of course, you don't know really which God you're swearing to, but you're really swearing to Lucifer himself when you make this, because this all revolves around the light, and everything in masonry is a mirror image of the God of the Bible, because they're not a mirror image of the Muslim religion or the Hindu religion or the Shinto religion or the Jewish religion. This all has to do with Christianity and the destruction of Christianity. That's what it's really about. And the average Mason, wherever he may be, has no idea what he's getting into.
Well, you have to realize, when they go into the lodge, they're blindfolded. So where are they going to turn? You know, everything's new to them. They're pretty well stripped down. They're not completely naked. They do have, like, some pants on, but the leg is rolled up and so on. There's a noose around their neck. And then they're told to repeat after me, and there's also a side put to them, and sometimes it's sharp enough to just give a little pierce. I mean, they know there's a very sharp instrument there. And where are they going to turn? They're told to repeat after me. They're pretty well stuck.
And, of course, they're swearing an oath how they do not understand that the light that they're talking about is not the light of Jesus Christ, but the light from the dark side, the light of Lucifer. And if you read Albert Pike's book, Morals and Dogma, on page 321, there's no question what this is about. Or you read the writings of Manly Hall, who was the leading Masonic philosopher of the 20th century. And that's what he said, basically, when he died in the Scottish Rite magazine. And he talked about how Masonry was a fraternity within a fraternity, an outer fraternity that belonged to all these good men, and they just had the good time. But an inner fraternity that was, of course, studying the secrets. And the true secret is that Lucifer is God. That's what it's about. To the average individual, they say, well, that's a lot of foolishness. But it really isn't foolishness, is it, Dr. Burns?
No, it's not. Well, you mentioned there, page 321 of Morals and Dogma. That is where Pike called Lucifer the Lightbearer and the Son of the Morning. And that was one of the passages that I had mentioned before. I said that Eliphas Levi was the person that Pike had plagiarized, and that's one of the passages that was plagiarized from him. And see, we have to realize that Albert Pike himself was called the Sovereign Pontiff of Lucifer. And Arthur Edward Waite, one of the most well-known occultic masons of the 19th, I guess early 20th century, called Pike the Pontiff of Luciferian Freemasonry. And, of course, Pike himself had revised and modernized the ritual of the Black Mass. Pike wrote a lot of poems or hymns to pagan gods such as Hera, Poseidon, Demeter, Aphrodite, Apollyon, Ares, Hermes, Hypnos, Flora, ones like this. And this is the type of rituals that, and oaths and the ceremonies that each Mason takes without realizing the foundation of these items. And it is. It's filled with Luciferian doctrine, like you've mentioned, namely Palmer Hall. He basically said that the Mason has to learn to control the seething energies of Lucifer that is in his hand before he can move onward and upward. Masonry is Luciferian, but it's so sad that most people, at least in the lower levels, have no idea who they are sworn allegiance to.
And incidentally, we do offer Manly P. Hall's writings. It's called The Lost Keys of Freemasonry. Now, we don't put this in our standard catalog because we don't want you to think we recommend this for bedside reading. For the lead researcher who really wants to understand, we have Manly P. Hall's The Secret Teachings of All Ages, one of the most important books written from the satanic point of view. We have The Lost Keys of Freemasonry and The Secret Destiny of America. And if you can remember the titles, and we perhaps will mention them later, as you can order them from our ministry. But we don't include them in the catalog because these are truly satanic books. Ladies and gentlemen, the reality is we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, and unfortunately, most of our ministers don't even understand what the battle's about.
Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine, but those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like the corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. Or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon, Dr. Kathy Burns, and of course, books we carry by her, one on masonry, one on Secrets of the Eastern Star, one on Billy Graham, one on Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated. And if you were going to get one book, I would certainly get the Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated. Really, isn't that one of your bestsellers, Kathy?
Yes, it is.
And I think it's so vitally important that people have an opportunity to know more about what's going on, and you really can't understand it unless you understand that you are surrounded by the occult symbols, and they're hidden, always hidden, right in plain sight. because they honestly say, and of course as Manly Palmer Hall writes in his books, the average individual will not see them at all. He will not understand them. He may even read about them, but unless he's really been schooled in this, in the mysteries, he's not going to understand what this is about. This was what Aristotle wrote to Alexander the Great, who was part of the mystery religions, when Alexander the Great was furious with Aristotle for writing about the mysteries, the secrets of the ancient mystery religions, which of course the Masonry is the modern day manifestation of. Aristotle was writing Aristotle wrote back to Alexander the Great and said, you have nothing to worry about. Unless you've been educated and schooled in the mysteries, nobody will understand. I can write all the books I want to, but the people will never understand, and that's really what's so true.
It is true. There's a short talk bulletin that the Masons put out, and those short talk bulletins are supposed to be read in the Masonic Lodge, and it says this, and I'll give a quote, it may be asserted in the broadest terms that the Freemason who knows nothing of our symbolism knows little of Freemasonry. He may be able to repeat every line of the ritual without an error. Yet if he does not understand the meaning of the ceremonies, the signs, the words, the emblems, and figures, he is a Masonic ignoramus.
But of course the thing is that once you are a Mason, why, you were expected to go along with what you're told. And when you have Masons that are in Congress, or a significant number of them in both political parties in the Senate, or Masons who are the President of the United States or hold key cabinet positions, or even much, much more frightening, when they control the Supreme Court of the United States, as they did from 1941 to 1971, and it was the Masonic Court that took God and prayer out of our schools. Isn't it amazing, Kathy, that nobody ever tells the American people that?
That is, it's really sad, because that's when a lot of those things, that's when our country really started to go back, is when the Supreme Court was ruled by Masons in the majority. And, of course, they're the ones, it was the Supreme Court that decreed that it's illegal to display the Ten Commandments or to pray in the public schools. And when you look over the list of those who have, the judges that have been Masons, about 33% of all Supreme Court justices have been Masons. And this really is a vital issue, because when they take these oaths, as I mentioned, well, I didn't mention this oath, I'll read this one first. By the 13th degree, the Mason takes an oath to the effect that all crimes are to be concealed, including murder and treason. Now, if you...
If they're done by a brother Mason, that is.
That's right.
Right.
I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. Right. Your brother Mason, you must conceal all the crimes of your brother Masons, and should you be summoned as a witness against a brother Mason, be always sure to shield him. It may be perjury to do this, it is true, but you're keeping your obligations. Now, when our congressmen, our Supreme Court justices, our representatives belong to the Masonic fraternity, and they've sworn their allegiance to this order, and then they also swear their allegiance to uphold the Constitution of the United States, which oath are they going to keep? They have to lie, for one, when they're presented with a Mason, that they have to defend and shield. Either they have to break their Masonic oath, and if they're willing to do that, can we trust that they won't break their constitutional oath? If they break their constitutional oath, then they'll probably break the Masonic oath. You cannot trust a justice of this nature. And when they're in charge of our government, our states, and so on and so forth, and make our laws, we are in really deep trouble.
And yet nobody ever dares talk about this, that they do. They're attacked, and of course, there have been, well, I have one book we carry written by Charles Finney, and of course, an appendix to that are the story of four ministers who in recent years had the audacity to get up on the pulpit and preach to their people in their church about the dangers of Masonry. Every one of them was forced out of their church. They work as a unit, and they will target anybody who tells the truth about this occult organization. And of course, there are people who are poisoned and who are killed. We're not talking about imaginary things. This is really very real. In fact, it was when the Masons killed Captain Morgan back in the 1820s or so, that brought about the anti-Mason party. And there really at one time here in the United States was an anti-Masonic party. But isn't it interesting? They hardly ever mention that in our textbooks today. We'll be right back in just a moment here with our special guest, Dr. Kathy Burns, and we'll welcome your calls, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. Or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And we'll be back in just a moment with our very, very special guest, Dr. Kathy Burton. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Dr. Burns, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, you know, when you attend churches, and I have attended very large churches, and they will bring people in to talk about, oh, the cults. They'll talk about the New Age. They'll talk about Mormonism. They'll talk about certainly the Jehovah's Witnesses, but they will never talk about Masonry. And I asked one of the people one time, why don't you talk about Masonry? The largest cult in the United States would probably, they claim about 3,000 members. I think they're lying. 3 million members. I think it's probably closer to 2 million, but who am I to judge them? They claim 3 million. At one time they were up to 6 million members. Why don't you ever talk about them? Oh, we wouldn't dare do that. Well, if our churches won't talk about it, and our political leaders won't talk about it, and you're not going to read about it in the newspapers or the magazines or hear about it on television, how are the American people going to understand that many times people get off scot-free after committing horrendous crimes? They're never prosecuted because they're part of a secret brotherhood. And, of course, the Masonry is simply one of a number of secret organizations, but certainly one of the most powerful here in the United States. So pick up the story from there, Dr. Burns.
Well, the thing is, when you're in a Methodist church or a Baptist church, it's easy to call out against the cults, the, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons or whatever. But the thing is, so many of your church leaders, I think it's about 90% of the Methodist ministers are Masons.
Really,
90%? And they're not ready to, you know, call out against their own ministers like that. And the Southern Baptist, I guess, is about 18% of the deacons or something like that. And, you know, they really cannot call out against this because it's so prevalent among them. And it's really sad because It is a cult. This is far worse than many of the other cults.
All right, well, let's go to Eric, who's calling us from Texas. Hi, Eric. How are you doing?
Hi, doctor. Doctors.
All right, go ahead.
Appreciate this. Okay, great. I'm looking at the book here, and I found it on TechSmart earlier today. I was really tempted to go ahead and get it, and I'm really glad that Dr. Burns is on tonight. I'm also a researcher into the occult, and I agree with everything Dr. Burns has present in her book.
Which book are you speaking of? Which book do you have?
Masonic and Occult Symbols.
Fine. Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated. Excellent book. Right. We carry that book, and I guess you got that through another ministry, but that's fine. The important thing is you have it, and you're learning from it.
Yes, I have some incredible information to share here, too. The occult order that's running the world, literally from a round table on top of the financial pyramid, they not only have a symbology, but they've also left a remarkable trail through history in another way, and that is using numerology, an occult-based numerology. Does Dr. Burns know about how this is being implemented?
Well, they use the numbers. The main numbers with masonry typically center around multiples of 3, 5, 9. They use the 27, the 39.
Exactly.
These are numbers that, you have to realize, too, that the witches do the exact same numbers. They're very heavily involved with numerology or astrology, things of that nature. It's implemented, and again, I do not think that the average Mason has any idea, but it definitely plays a role in the Masonic Lodge.
And really, there's so many various things that all intertwine until this is a study of its own, but you're absolutely right. Numerology is certainly part and parcel of this. Anything else, Eric?
Oh, yes. I'd like to give some examples of this. I've actually written a book about it myself, just focusing on the numerology. It was initially called Revelation 9-1-1 because that's a very interesting quote from Scripture. You get a chance to read that. I don't know if I'd have enough time.
We really don't, because we do have some other colleagues. But anyway,
okay,
I appreciate so very much your input, and thank you so much.
Well,
for
sir?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I'd just like to give a few examples, major examples of how profound this really is in society. It would be really, it fit right in line with the show. And I'd like to tell people that they can get a free copy of the ebook at linktoit.com, and then go ahead and download that as a PDF. And
so
what is
the website?
Linktoit.com.
Okay, fine. Well, thanks so very much, Eric. Appreciate your calling. And now, Dr. Burns, certainly, as we look and see the influence on our government, you know, one of the things that when we saw recently the effort to impeach Bill Clinton, and really what was so significant about this is that there were 10 congressmen who risked their whole professions, their whole careers, to get an impeachment for Bill Clinton. I think that they should have certainly got after him for other things, for Watergate and for Iran-Contragate. Pardon me, not Iran-Contragate, but for, you know, the strange death of Vince Foster and the strange death of Ron Brown, and for so many other things that he was involved with. Whitewater, whatever it was, that the development he was. The death of Jim McDougal in prison, when, of course, he was going to turn state's witness on Bill Clinton. The fact that there were over 50 people who died under very mysterious circumstances when Bill Clinton was in the White House, and even Monica Lewinsky took a picture of those, took a list of the names of the people who died mysteriously, and gave them to Linda Tripp and said, Linda Tripp, you don't really want to testify against the President of the United States, do you? And the inference was that her name might be added to that list. So everybody knew that many people were being killed. Maybe if only one or two of them were really directly related to orders given by the President or the people controlled him, that would be basis enough for an impeachment on its own. But when this whole thing was taken to the Senate, why, if you've ever read that book by David Shippers, which is really very interesting because he was the counsel for the impeachment committee. They met with Trent Lott, And Trent Lott, who was the Speaker of the Senate, he said, you know, no way. We're not going to, you know, impeach the President of the United States. You want 3 months to do this? We'll give you 3 days. You can have three witnesses, and we will determine what's going to be brought out. Now, the significance of that to me, well, what was the significance of that to you, Dr. Burns?
Well, I'll tell you, and you obviously know, Trent Lott, not only do you limit the time now, the 3 days and the three witnesses, there's the number three, talking about that, but he's a 33rd degree Mason.
He's 33rd degree Mason, and what then is the connection of the 33rd degree Mason to, of course, Bill Clinton?
Well, before I answer that, Arlen Specter was a 33rd degree Mason, and he's the one that led those 10 Republican senators. And Robert E.
Who refused to back the impeachment.
Acquit, yes. And then the Democrat leader was Robert C. Byrd, and he was a 33rd degree Mason. And he's, even though he acknowledged Clinton's guilt, he voted to acquit him. And the significance, obviously, is that Bill Clinton happens to be a brother, Dima Ray.
Right. And this is what's never brought out. Wouldn't you think that somebody would bring that up? What about the Wall Street Journal or the Reader's Digest or the National Review or all our other conservative publications? And they all tie in to the Brotherhood of Darkness. That's the story you're never going to hear elsewhere. Well, let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Stan. I want to ask about William Pryor and his connectedness regarding the Judge Roy Moore fiasco.
I don't know if he's a Mason, but I do know that Bush, a Skull and Bones member, is the one who promoted him to the position.
Right. After he had destroyed the career of Judge Roy Moore. Okay. And, of course, you know, here's a man who professes to be a Christian, and yet he destroyed Judge Roy Moore, and then he's rewarded by the Bush administration for destroying Judge Roy Moore and getting him off the bench as the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. And the Bush administration, which professes to be Christian and in favor of all the things we stand for, rewards William Pryor with an interim appointment to the federal bench.
That's
anything
right.
else, Mike?
That's it, thanks.
Thanks very much. Let's go to Bart calling from Carmel. Hi, Bart.
Hello. Thank you both so much for your work in helping us understand what's going on. I have Dr. Burns' book, and everybody should really have a copy of this book. If you don't have one, get one, because when you read it, it's really obvious that the symbology is just embedded everywhere. It's not an overstatement to say that.
It's hidden in plain sight, right?
Right in plain sight. I do have a question, but lately it's just every main company that advertises on television always has the Illuminati pyramid jumping right out at you, and everybody must notice that by now. It's almost like more like a fashion statement, really, for the Illuminati. But my question, Dr. Burns, is this. This last couple of years, I have noticed that the letter X is embedded real blatantly throughout every form of advertisement as well as entertainment, and just people seem to be using it in every opportunity that they can use it, and it's obviously carrying some major significance, and I'd like to know what you think about that, and I'll take my answer on the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Bart. Okay, do you know any significance to this frequent use of the XXX?
Well, the letter X has to do with Osiris, and this is probably an embedded meaning of that, because, again, that's the god of masonry, and he would be formed in the letter X, and I believe I have something of that nature in my symbols book.
Well, you know, one of the things, one of the most significant things is the way they just love to use that figure, 666, certainly the logo of the Trilateral Commission. Three intertwining sixes, and you'll see these same emblem on Christian publications. They'll tell you it's the Trinity, and so often these things have a dual meaning. One to the Christian who thinks, oh, isn't this great? This signifies the Trinity, but of course the occultists know what it really signifies. And
well, see, what we've tried to do, we say that we want to Christianize what the world has, but we cannot do that. We often take their symbols, and we take it, and we give it a new meaning. But that does not make it a Christian symbol. You know, they take these from pagans and say, oh, we're going to change the name, and all of a sudden it's Christianized. That doesn't work. Satan recognizes the symbol. And I do have that X, there's a little bit about that on page 350 of my symbols book for those who have it.
All right, fine. And what's the significance then of the X?
In modern magic, it's the sign of the slain and risen Egyptian god Osiris.
All right, fine. And I think it's so important that this all ties into magic, and this is not imaginary magic. It's real magic. There really are people who have supernatural power. There are witches out there, and they tap into the dark side. There really are Satanists out there, and they tap into the dark side, and they do human sacrifices. And it's frightening if you really knew the number of children that disappear across America that we never hear of.
We're talking about human sacrifices. Here's another thing that the Masons now do, and that's in the cornerstone ritual. Originally, when they would lay the cornerstone, they would have to have the human sacrifice for the simple fact they felt that they were taking this ground from the god who owned it, and they had to repay the god, so they put the human sacrifice there and then build the foundation, starting with that as the base. Then, as time went on, they said, let's see if we can deceive the god, and they sort of just made like an effigy of the person, and they saw that they could get by with it. The god was not any more displeased than he was before. And they did that. And eventually it came up, and I have a lot of this in my book, Hidden Secrets of the Eastern Star. I have an entire chapter dealing with this. What they started to do instead of the effigy even then, they started to offer corn, wine, and oil. And every time that the Masons lay a cornerstone, they actually pour in the corn, wine, and oil as a sacrifice back to the god. And they tell, I would never have guessed that they meant this in any way, shape, or form. I would have never thought these things. But their own literature tells us this is what it was. It's a form of human sacrifice, only it's more adaptable to our society today.
And I think just about every courthouse in the United States,
yes,
has a Masonic emblem on it, on the cornerstone. But of course, we could never have a Christian emblem on it, a cornerstone of a federal building. But you can put a Masonic emblem because they worship a different god. That's what it's really all about.
That's right. And even going back to the how this affects Congress, there's one thing we have to realize, that in 1943, it was by an act of Congress that even Albert Pike's body was allowed to be buried in the Masonic House of the Temple. Here's this occultist, this Luciferian, this one that openly worshipped Satan. He was a necromancer, an astrologer, founder of the Ku Klux Klan.
He founded the Ku Klux Klan. So,
yes, by the act of Congress. Now, he died in 1891, so they waited until 1943 for the act of Congress, and then around 1943 or 1944, they actually disinterred him, here his remains, and put him in the House of the Temple. Now, do you think that would have happened if we would not have had Masonic congressmen?
And, of course, they even have a big statue of Albert Pike. Isn't he on horseback there? And
I believe he is.
He is on horseback there in Washington, D.C. And where is the NAACP and Jesse Jackson when you need him? Here's the man who formed the Ku Klux Klan. Why doesn't Jesse Jackson speak out about that? Well, maybe it's because Jesse Jackson's a 33rd degree Mason. Of course, they segregate the whites from the blacks. At least they always have until recently. Are there any integrated lodges yet? I know there weren't until a few years ago.
There are some, far and few between. Technically, they were told that they could never have communication with the Prince Hall Masons.
The Prince Hall of the Black Masons, right?
Yes, that's the Black Masons. But their rituals, I have a copy of both rituals. They're identical, word for word. They're the same thing. And they said they could never have communication with them. But little by little, as the racism issue has come up, you will see a Black Mason now and then. Sometimes they'll put them in a magazine, I guess probably for more show than anything. But most of them are still separated.
And I think what's so interesting is most of our service clubs have been forced to integrate and at least invite women to join. But to my knowledge, there are no women Masons in America now. There are in other countries, certainly Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, the founder of Theosophy, who was a Frank Luciferian, by her own admission, was a co-Mason. That was the British branch. That wasn't the American Masonry. Are there any women allowed, to become Masons in the United States, to your knowledge?
No, and really, even with Blavatsky and ones like that were co-Masons, they sort of try to downplay it and deny that it was really true Masonry. I mean, it was the same type of rituals in the occult and all, but no. And I've often wondered about that. You're the first one, Dr. Stan, that I even heard question that. But I've often wondered, why doesn't some woman of these feminists or whatever, rise up and say, hey, where's my right to join Masonry?
No.
You never hear this.
Isn't that interesting? Well, let's see. We seem to have another caller. We may not have to take time to take them, though, because we're almost out of time here. But, of course, where is the outcry? I mean, they discriminate against women. Where, of course, is Gloria Allred? Well, of course, Gloria realizes, I'm sure she's smart enough to realize, that if you stand up and you oppose masonry, why, they're going to get you, and they really do. And they poison people, and they kill people, and this is not imaginary. This sort of thing goes on today in America. And until we begin to understand that we're dealing with dark and sinister spirits or forces that has satanic in origin, we can understand very little of what's happening today, why we are fighting in the Middle East, why, of course, we are helping to finance communism and have financed it since its very inception. Well, we're just about out of time. Do you have a parting thought for us, Dr. Burns?
Well, the Bible tells us to pray for those in leadership, so we should pray that the Lord would open our leaders' eyes to be able to see the wrong and falsehood in the secret societies. We also need to pray for our leaders to pass righteous and moral laws, since God's Word tells us in Proverbs 14:34 that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Additionally, we need to pray for discernment as we elect our leaders so that they may choose to govern according to God's Word. And regardless of who's in leadership, we as individuals need to seek God.
God bless. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. God bless.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable, but through regular sources, call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Would you like your school to reflect the same traditional family values as your home? Then VHM Christian School is just what you're looking for. A quality Christian education taught by credentialed, energetic, and loving teachers for ages preschool through 8th grade. We invite you to visit VHM on March 9th from 10 to 11 a.m. This is a special visitation day to acquaint everyone interested in our comprehensive program of faith integrated with learning. VHM is located in the Live Oak area of Santa Cruz and stands for Virgil Hossel Memorial. But for over 50 years, it has become affectionately known as VHM to the surrounding community. Aside from the visitation day, you may also be interested in the Children's Health Expo on March 13th from 2 to 4 p.m. Speak with experts in the field of health, exercise, and diet with ideas to help you and your children. Call 475-4762 for more information. That's VHM at 475-4762. Being taught of God by the sea.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention that this is an excellent education. My son went there, I guess, 30 years ago, when he was just a lad, and traveling a child with a Christian background, Christian education, is the most wonderful gift you can give them. And, of course, one of the women who works very closely with us, my secretary, saw her two children go to the Virgil Hossel Memorial, and they're getting a wonderful Christian-based education. They're not only getting the Christian education, they're getting an education on all sorts of things they really need to know. So if there's any way you can get your children into a Christian school, why, let me suggest you give us a call. We'll be glad to get to the number. You can look it up in the telephone book. They're right here in Live Oak, not far from where I live, and it's a wonderful foundation for children. Children need to be brought up in the ways of the Lord, and they certainly will get it there at VHM. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and, you know, to be able to be on the air 5 hours a day, and to be on the air certainly all across America on shortwave, our evening programs heard on 2 shortwave outlets, we're on half a dozen internet outlets, and of course over 60 stations every week, so we do have an opportunity, a unique opportunity, to reach people. But if you'd like, of course, to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and become part of our team, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And for a suggestive gift of at least $20 a month or more, as much as you can afford, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping to support what we do. Now, you can just subscribe to the newsletter if you want. That's $25 a year. And then, of course, if you'd like a free copy of the newsletter, well, you can go up to the internet at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Or we'll be glad to send you one free of charge. Our November newsletter goes into the fact that they're poisoning our children with fluoride. And you need to get the information. You need to understand there really are wicked people out there, and the doctors and dentists are not going to the scientific literature. It's all there. But everything is being done to suppress the information. In fact, so many PubMed or so many of the internet sites refuse to even acknowledge that the fluoride journal is there. Fluoride journal, people from all over the world, chemists, experts in chemistry, understanding that they're poisoning our children with fluoridated water and our adults as well. Why the articles are there, the scientific literature is there, and it's being suppressed from the doctors. It's being suppressed from the dentists. First of all, there's a lot of money to be made in this because this is an excellent means of getting rid of the waste material from the aluminum industry and the fertilizer industry. Where else are they going to be able to dump fluoride and lead and arsenic and cadmium and polonium-20 in the drinking water and get away with it? Poisoning our children. They know what they're doing. They don't want the American people to know. And that's why you really need to get my November newsletter. We'll send it to you free of charge. And, of course, you really need to get my 4 tape sets on water fluoridation, the book, The Fluoride Deception, or certainly the book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, that has an excellent session in it on water fluoridation. And also that book covers mercury. We have a 4 tape set and a video on mercury. We have a 4 tape set and a video on NutraSweet, which was known to be a poison before they ever released it to the public. So you need to get this information, and we hope that many of you will do everything you can to help us get this information disseminated. We hope many of you will want to get Dr. Kathy Burns' books, Masonic and Occult Symbols Illustrated. And then, of course, for those of you who are listening on shortwave, they have changed our frequencies again. Our shortwave frequency for the evening program, that's the one that comes at 3 hours from now, 7.490, that's 7.490. And then, of course, my afternoon program has been switched from to 7.580. So the evening program is 7.490, or of course it's still on 5.835 if you listen to the two channels. There are two channels in the evening, but the other channel is 7.490, changeover from 7.580. So they keep doing this just to confuse us. Remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Remember our website at radioliberty.com. If you want to get a case of my books, Brotherhood of Darkness, why, we won't be offering them much more. Just got another couple of orders in, 4 cases. You can get 62 books for $124, $2 a piece. That's a lot better than $12.95. But we want you to sell them. We want you to give them away. We want people to understand the true nature of the occult forces that are aligned against our Lord. And then pray for America, pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.